Well, praise the Lord. That's another one worth coming out to hear tonight. And it's been a blessing already just being in this place. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. And no doubt the congregational singing and the specials have definitely honored and glorified the Lord through the music that we have experienced here tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of James in chapter 1. James in chapter 1. We have studied much concerning the birth of Christ over the last 2 or 3 weeks in Sunday morning Sunday school and then morning worship service, Sunday night services. We've had the children's cantata or the Christmas program last Sunday night, and then the Sunday night before that we had the adult Christmas cantata, and it's just been a blessing. Everything that we've heard, everything that we have studied to remind us of just what Christmas truly is. And it's all about a son is given, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was God who was manifested in the flesh. And so tonight, Christmas Eve, of course, next following Wednesday night, 2 weeks, next Wednesday night's our watch night service. But then we'll get back into a series we've just started on Noah and the life of Noah, just a tremendous Bible study on the life of Noah. And we'll be getting back into that in a couple of weeks. But tonight, with it being Christmas and Christmas Eve, I believe this is what the Lord would have us to look to and study this passage of Scripture. This, you say, well, is this a Christmas passage? Something I think that once we get finished with it, you'll understand and agree with me that it does. It is gives us more insight into what Christmas is all about, the day that we celebrate. So James chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 13 down to verse 18. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from, and this is what I want you to look at here, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, as we bow before you, we love you and thank you, Lord, for loving us. We do thank you for, Lord, just the gift that surpasses every gift, and that's the gift of your only begotten Son, who came and became man to give an example for all to look to and follow after. Then he laid his life down on Calvary's cross, paid a sin debt that all of humanity owed and could not pay, resurrected on the third day, and sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us even today. Thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church on this Christmas Eve. And God, thank you for all that have taken advantage of their opportunity and have a desire to be in church tonight. I pray that you would bless them just simply because of the desire to be here. I ask you now that you would now give us the insight into this passage of Scripture that we might be able to learn from it. I pray that you would use me to present your message once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. In the book of James in chapter 1, we find that James, right here, verse 17 especially, he speaks of God as the Father of lights. He's referring to God, there's no doubt about that, and he refers to him and he says, the gifts come down from the Father of lights. He is light. There's no doubt about it. The Bible records that he is light. Jesus was the light of the world. But he is light and has created all lights. I mean, every light that is known to mankind. We look to the stars, we look to the sun, we look to the moon, and we look to whatever kind of light it is. A light comes from God, for God is light. And in Him, the Bible says, is no variableness. What does that mean? It means that God is always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God cannot change because He is established. He is perfect. That which is perfect, no need to change, and they will not change. So God, there's no variableness in God. And so once you learn who God is, that'll never change. Once you learn a truth that God has established, that'll never change. Once you learn a biblical principle that God has established, that will never change. Why? Because God does not change. His word is the same today as it always has been and always will be. And so this Father of lights who has created all lights, there's no variableness in Him. That means He's always the same. Neither shadow of turning. That means that He does everything that He does out in the open, in clear sight, in light. God does not work in darkness. God does not work in the shadows. And that's what it's talking about here. He does not tempt. And this passage of Scripture is really dealing with the idea of temptations. And Satan tempts. He lures us into certain things. God does not tempt. He reveals truth. And as God reveals truth, He doesn't lure you into accepting it. He doesn't lure you in or tempt you into making a right decision. He says, this is truth. This is the results of this truth. And you have a free will and you make a choice. You make a decision. That's what it's talking about there. God does not tempt. You'll never be tempted by God even to do good. Because God doesn't tempt. He says, this is the truth, and if you do this, these are the good things that will come out of it, and these are the judgments that will come out of it on the other side of it. But this is it. God says, this is light. I'm revealing it to you. I'm not going to tempt you. I'm not going to lure you into it. This is the truth, and you have a free will to do with it what you will. That's God. Now, Satan, on the other hand, reveals he is a tempter. He lures you. He works in the dark and in the shadows. He makes you think it's more than what it's going to be. And he'll get you to do what he is bidding by deception. God does not work that way. He's light. There's no variableness in him. No shadow of turning. James reveals that God gives gifts. Now, again, that's something that everyone here tonight has been addressing that. The idea of gifts, and we even spoke a little bit about that on Sunday morning. But the Bible says this God of light, that there is no variableness and no shadow of turning, that this same God gives gifts. In verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from God. Every good gift. God's gifts are all good. If it's from God, it's good. Why? Because God is good. That describes Him as well. He is good. It's an impossibility for God, because He is 100% good. It's an impossibility for anything other than good to come out of God. And so every gift that God gives is good. And not only is every gift that God gives good, it is perfect. Looking for that perfect gift. Very seldom do we ever give it. But every gift that God gives is perfect. Why? Because He is perfect. He defines perfection in every sense, in every area, in every way. He's perfect. So God's gifts are perfect. And after he says that about God gives these gifts and he comes down from the Father of lights and describes who he is, and which there's no changing, it's never going to change, and he doesn't do anything in the dark. He's not a tempter. God cannot tempt. He says in verse 16, do not err, my dearly beloved, my beloved brethren. He said, I want you to know this. This is something that is very important for you to understand about God. these things that we've just mentioned. Do not err. Do not lose sight of this. Now, time. We could go on and on concerning all the gifts of God. There's many. And it's a blessing just to know of these gifts and to learn of these gifts. What comes from God? There's so much. I want to briefly examine. I want to examine with you tonight and look at three gifts I think that are very important for us, especially during this time of the year and maybe what's going on in each one of our lives, concerning three gifts of God. And before we actually look at this, I want to ask you the question, and that is, what should we look for in return for giving a gift? What should we look for? Now, some say, well, maybe reward for giving somebody. So I should have a reward. That's selling something. That's not giving. That's selling. Selling it, you want a reward. You want money for it. That's selling. That's not a gift. Others might think, and children might be good for this, and some adults as well, but, well, a gift in return. If I give this person this gift, I wonder what gift I'll get in return. And so it's easy to give in people that have a lot to give in return gifts. But yet you find somebody that you know has no means by giving you anything. What kind of gifts do we do give them? I believe as we study the scriptures and learn from God and God's giving to us, we look for not payment or what we can receive in return. We look for appreciation. We look for thanks. That's what God does. God addresses humanity in several places, but in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 18, he says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus." If this is the will of God, then you can mark it down, this is God. God who is good and perfect. And what he wants from us and what God gives to us and God works in our lives to do the same. This idea of God's will for us and to have the full blessings of God in our lives, we must learn this idea of being thankful in everything. Now, that can be very difficult. Give thanks for sickness, give thanks for losing a job, give thanks for this or give thanks for that or whatever. It is an attitude that we have when we understand who God is. And we understand all the gifts of God. We're going to deal with trials. God tells us that. We're going to have persecutions. God tells us that. We're going to die one day. This body is dying. We live in the world of the dying. Amen. We're headed to a world of the living. This is the life, the world of the dying. We're headed to eternity is with the life of the living. And so if we're living in a world that is basically dying, and it is, not only humanity, but everything in this world itself is dying, that this world will not be destroyed by global warming in the sense that man is saying it's going to be destroyed. It will be destroyed as by fire, amen? But that's going to be instantaneously. It's not going to take a billion years to happen. When God says it's time, and it's time for this world to end, he will destroy this earth, and the Bible tells us how he's going to destroy it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. But not only just giving thanks with our lips, the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, "And be ye thankful." So it's a way to live. It's an attitude by which we develop, same as being content. And you'll not be content until you learn to be thankful. You're always going to be looking at what you don't have instead of looking at what you do have. If you're always looking for something other than what you have, you'll never be content with what you do have. If you're not content with it, you're not giving thanks for it. You're not truly thankful. So gifts. Now, that's understanding that. Goes along with what God wants us to do with the gifts that He gives us. First gift I want to share with you tonight that I think ought to be a blessing to us. All of us here have it, or you wouldn't be here. Life. Genesis chapter 2. Go back there with me. I'm talking about physical life, and then I'm also talking about spiritual life. All life comes from God. Whether it be physical or whether it be spiritual. Whether it be of the plants, all living things get life from God. And God sustains all life. Now, understand, this Sunday morning, in Sunday morning Sunday school, we're starting a new series on stewarding life. Now, I love that thought because usually when you're taught stewardship, everyone's mind goes to finances. But we're going to be going into a series and going to be studying in our adult classes on stewarding life. And to get the most out of life and to have the greatest life available to humanity, to have the joy of the Lord, to have this peace that passes all understanding, we have to understand what God says about stewarding life. Don't miss out on that. Be here Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Start with this series and follow it through. I guarantee you it will be some of the best teaching that you've ever received in just understanding purpose for life and how to get joy and fulfillment out of the life that we have. Well, in Genesis, in chapter 2, in Genesis here, in chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." I believe He made a lot of animal life from the dust of the ground. God's DNA and how God created living things. But what sets mankind above anything, any other type of life? What sets mankind above animal life? What sets mankind above plant life? What sets mankind up above any kind of life found in the oceans is what He says next. It's what God gives to give us life. God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, look right here, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Came from God. Life is a gift from God. Amen. In whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In Psalms 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Means they come from God. And the fruit of the womb is His reward or gift. That means that God puts the spirit into that physical body in the womb. God designed conception to include humanity and to include two people to form what this little baby is going to look like. And the characteristics of that little baby, the design of that little baby, all the different things. But God is the one that puts life there. Because God gives life. And life is a gift. How long has it been since you just realized that my life has been a gift from God? And every year that He gives me, it's His gift. Every day that He gives me, every breath that I have, it's a gift from God because that's sustaining the life. Every breath that I breathe, every tick of this heart, every time this heart pumps, it's God who sustains it. I believe we ought to wake up every morning thanking God for another day. But how long has it been Have you acknowledged the gift that God's given you concerning your life? How long has it been since you just looked to God and said, God, thank you for life? Too often we're asking God, God, why did you do this? And why has my life turned out this way? And why is this happening? And how's come this? And why over there? You're never going to find the blessings out of life until you learn to thank God and be thankful for life, a gift of God. And every morning you wake up, every morning that you're able to stand on your two feet, every morning that you're able to function, realize God has given me life. If you have spiritual life, that's even something more to be thankful for. To understand that that spiritual life is everlasting life. And it's only going to get better and better concerning your spiritual life. Because as this life starts getting harder and harder and starts becoming more filled with more pain and suffering, it helps us to look forward to that which we know that is coming. So even in the elderly stages of life, if we are thankful to God, amen, we get more of life because we're looking even more to the coming of the Lord or to my home going because I know what's going to follow that. That's exactly how God designed it. That's God's will for our lives. He says, brother, don't be ignorant of this. Brother, know this. Don't lose sight of this. Life is a gift from God. Thank God for it. Not only should we thank God for our lives, but if you're married here this evening, you ought to be on a regular basis looking to God and say, God, thank you for the life of my spouse because you used that life to touch my life. You use that life to bring joy into my life. You use that life to help give me even more to rejoice over in this life. Instead of complaining about, well, that's a woman that you gave me. God, why'd you give me that man? Don't you learn to be thankful? Realize that life, the life that God gave and brought into your life. And at some point, you made the decision to marry him. Amen. That's right. Don't put it off on God now. You made the decision and you said, I will and I do. And so will and do. Just as you vowed to. And be thankful to be able to have an opportunity to do so. One day they'll be gone. You'll not be able to will and do. Those children? Thank God for the life of your children. Yeah. Even when you're changing diapers and even when you're waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go. Amen. You knew. Amen. It was a possibility. And God gave you life. Thank God for that life. God gives gifts. His gifts are good and perfect. Don't waste your life. Don't waste one moment of your life. And the way we waste it is let Satan deceive us and to tempt us and get us going in the opposite direction than what God would have us to go. Satan's going to lure us through temptation to think that there's something better for you than the will of God. Satan's going to lure you into thinking there's another way. Just be thankful to God for his gift of life. The second thing that I want to look to tonight, and we're not going to be much longer, but God gives something that affects every one of us here, and we all have it. Grace. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8. This is a very well-known passage of Scripture, but I want to maybe help you to see it in a different light. What is grace? Grace is defined as the love and favor and kindness of God. God gives grace and shows mercy. There is a difference. But without grace, you'll never have mercy. Mercy is not available outside of the grace of God. God gives grace. It's a gift, and He shows mercy. Grace is a derivative of love, God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so through that love came grace. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, in verse 8, it said, "For by grace are you saved." God gives grace. It's a good gift. Can I tell you, God's grace is a perfect gift. And it brings to us opportunities to be saved. Because of God's gift of grace, we can be saved. Because of His grace, which is a derivative of love, He sent His Son. And His Son paid a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. And because of grace, God giving grace, He offers mercy. He shows mercy. Have you thanked Him today for His grace? Have you thanked Him today for the gift? He's given the gift, and we have, all of us have been the beneficiaries of this gift. And yet what God's expecting from that is nothing more than thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this grace. It's impacted my life. When you learn to be thankful for God's gift of grace, can I tell you, it will impact other parts of your life. And once you're thankful for His grace, then you will want to give back to God love. We will love God because He first of all loved us. And we understand His love for us and what He has given to us, then we will have a greater desire to say, God, because of Your love, I have opportunity to love You. And showing that I love You comes by way of obedience to God's will. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And as we do that, we'll be able to find that grace to help in time of need. You're not finding it? Maybe it's because you've not been thankful for it. Wow. It's a good gift. It's a perfect gift. Last one tonight. Not only has God given us a good and perfect gift of life, not only has God given us a good and perfect gift of grace, God's given us His church. His church. Jesus established the church, and He wanted to make no mistake, it's His church. But He's given it to us to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church." Jesus established the church, and He's given it to us as a gift. And as we come to the church, He says, "Thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." It is His, but He established it for us, for this church age. Gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. It means that He'll keep His church as a gift available to anyone who truly wants it. Anyone who can truly be thankful for it. When's the last time you just thanked God for His gift of the church? A place of refuge. A place for an extended family. What a blessing coming here tonight. Christmas Eve. We'll be here next Wednesday night, New Year's Eve. We're here every Sunday, the first day of every week. We're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it shouldn't be a chore. It ought to be something that as we are thankful for God's gifts, we would be looking forward to the blessings of God's gift. They're good. It's good. The church is a good gift. The church is a perfect gift. It's exactly what every born-again believer needs today. It's exactly what we need. It's perfect. It's only the devil's going to try to blind you to it. The devil's going to try to blind us to the need for it, the blessings of it. But it's God's gift. It's one of God's many, many gifts. It's His, but He's established it for us. How do we show our appreciation to God for the church? I'll be thanking God for it. As you learn to be thankful to God for His gifts and you acknowledge those gifts, they'll mean more to you because you realize this is a gift from God. It's a good gift and it's a perfect gift. God cannot give anything but good and perfect gifts. And when you acknowledge this church as a gift from God to you, you're going to realize how important it is and you'll get more out of it. You'll get out of it what God has for you to get out of it and you will have a better life. You'll be better prepared to deal with the trials and the storms that we have to go through from time to time. How we need to express our gratitude. We express our gratitude to God for the church, not only by thanking Him for it, but supporting it. You're here tonight. That's supporting this church. Praise the Lord for it. But we need to support the church by keeping the testimony of Christ. We can only do that as individuals because you make up the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And the testimony of the Lighthouse Baptist Church to some is what you show. It's like what they get from you. This church can impact this world. It's only going to impact the world through its members. And what each and every one of us are able to do in serving God here in the church. Not only do we represent Christ to the world, you represent Lighthouse Baptist Church. Let's make sure that we keep the testimony of Christ where it ought to be concerning His church. And then we support it by accomplishing the work that God has for His church to accomplish throughout this church age. We're 2,000 years into this church age, but this is our generation. This is the time that God has chosen to give you life, to live in this 21st century, to deal with the circumstances of this generation, to deal with the sins of this generation, to deal with whatever it is that Satan is trying to throw at us in this generation. And in order to establish a Christian testimony in this generation, we have to acknowledge the church, to be thankful for it, and support it as God would have us to. It's a gift from God. God is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. It's not going to change. No matter how the world changes, God and His truths are not changing. Because they're not going to change, there's going to be even more persecution from the world toward His church, toward His truths. But it's God. He has a purpose and a plan. All of His gifts are good, and all of His gifts are perfect. The question, how thankful are we for these gifts? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. You'll not find a better gift than the gifts that God has already given us. You might not unwrap them underneath the Christmas tree tomorrow, but you can surely acknowledge them. What better day to acknowledge the gifts of God than on a day that we've set aside to truly acknowledge the greatest gift at all of all, and that is His Son. But don't forget. Don't lose sight of all the other gifts that come down from the Father of lights. Father, we do love You. We thank You, Lord God, for all that You do for us. We're thankful for who You are. And tonight, God, we're just reminded of who You are and the gifts that You bestow upon us. And we just spoke of a few. Help us to leave here a more thankful people than what we were when we come in. Help us to leave here with a greater desire to express our gratitude for all that You give us. Bless in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.